Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2-2 pitch for Jordan Walker with a runner at second base. Strike three called on a check swing, and this ball game has come to an end. Pagan walked one, but he struck out three, and the Reds beat the Cardinals 6-2.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Yep. Matt Pauly joins us again just after 10 o'clock here on a Thursday. The Cardinals have completed their second-to-last home series. They will play against the Brewers starting tomorrow, and they got the off day today that they will enjoy. And then that's it for the season at Busch Stadium. Then, of course, they go on the road, Giants and Cubs on the road, and that's how the 2025 campaign will come to an end, barring some miracle that happens in the next several days. Matt Pauly, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm great. Are we in line for a miracle?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
But I'd love to be wrong. I will, if I am wrong, I will celebrate my wrongness.
Well, I will celebrate your wrongness if you do that. If they,
okay.
You know, okay.
We can have a big party, the Matt Pauly's wrong party.
we could all be wrong. So here we are, man. We're looking at a team that is, they are where they are. And it's almost like I know that we have gone over them a million different ways, and we will continue to do that as the offseason comes up here. But as they do get to the end of their home season and we look back and assess 2025, what's the first thing you think of?
I think the raised expectations in May and then them falling back to earth as the season went along.
Yeah. So, now that we are looking ahead, because it's really the only thing we can do here is look to 2026, I think the question a lot of people have is, how quickly can they turn this around? Or are we in for more of the same next year?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting because first off, we need to define turn it around. If turn it around is be a playoff club, well, that can probably happen pretty quickly. There's some things that could have gone differently this year that would have resulted them in being a playoff club. If they would have made the move for Fetty for McGreevy earlier, they'd have some more wins and it might look a little bit different. But Kevin and I talked about this on Redbird Rush Hour last night. Just sneaking into the playoffs, that's not what you're trying to be. You're trying to be a team that is a division champion and has the ability to go on a deep playoff run and possibly win a World Series every year. How far are they from that? That's probably years down the road. But it's a step-by-step process. So if there is a scenario where next year they do get to the 85, 86 wins, and they sneak into the postseason, and then the next year they're in postseason contention all season long, and they get in there, and maybe they win a first-round series or something, and then the next year you feel like that's when they've got a chance of really making a run. I feel like I think that's kind of a positive scenario. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, and it seems to me like sneaking into the playoffs had been sort of the business model here for a while. And of course, the problem with that has become once you get to the playoffs, you know, the old adage, anything can happen. It's true.
To an extent.
But once you get into the playoffs, you're almost guaranteed to face a team that's got two very good frontline starting pitchers and you're in that best of three series. So sneaking into the playoffs is not perhaps the route that it used to be.
Yeah, so just because you can go on a playoff run unexpected with a roster that is not as good as other rosters doesn't mean you should build your roster that way. And I think to be fair on that, if you do build your roster in a way that it looks like it's good for the playoffs and you've got high-end starting pitching and things like that, and you do happen to fail in the postseason, I think at that point it's appropriate to look at it and say, okay, there's a little bit of luck involved in this because this team was postseason ready. But you guys are right in the sense that it can't just be about, you know, getting into the tournament and hoping that it works out well. You have to have a team where you feel like, okay, whoever the other team throws out in game number one, speaking as the Cardinals, we have somebody that we can throw out there and can just match up to them. And right now they don't have that.
That's the thing, Matt, that I am most, I guess, I don't know if concern is the right word, but it's the thing that I am looking at the most moving ahead as an organizational philosophy, because I have talked about this for years with them that yes, anything can happen when you get to the postseason, but it doesn't mean you should count on anything happening. And what they should be doing is trying to even themselves with teams like the Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers and not say, well, win the division and then, you know, we'll see what happens from there. And it worked for them, as John mentioned, a couple of times, but it's not the right process to go about it. Do you think that moving forward, they will start to see it differently, that it isn't about winning the division? It's about having the best team possible to remove or lower the margin of error once you get to the postseason.
I think so, and I think we're talking about pitching more than anything else.
Right.
That's what separates the really good teams from the not so good teams, and what when we evaluate if a team is, you know, quote unquote built for the postseason, generally what we're doing is we're looking at the top two or three starters and seeing how we feel like that they shore up with other guys. So, Heim Bloom's specialty is pitching, and that's something you look at his teams. He has found a way to cultivate, develop, acquire pretty high end pitching. So that's one area that I feel very good with Bloom taking over. I think the team's going to be much better from a pitching standpoint, and I think the pitching is going to pass the smell test when it comes to being a postseason rotation at some point. Now, probably not next year, but at some point in the relatively near future.
Yeah, I feel kind of like the Cardinals were a little late to the dance once the shift was eliminated, because you were training a generation of pitchers to be pitched to contact, a lot of sinker ball, going back to the Dave Duncan school even. And the rule change, I think, has been as much of a part of the Cardinals' decline in the last three seasons as anything else. Do you agree with that?
I agree in theory. I think it's a lot larger than that. The single biggest mistake that the Cardinals made was that as the industry was changing, they did not change along with it. They just stuck with their model. And they were able to do that for a while because you had guys like Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright around. And you had players that were almost able to just exceed expectations and pull a team up that they didn't need to at that moment go along with what everybody else had learned about baseball and reacted to what everybody else learned about baseball. So they went for a while kind of just going against the trends and sticking with their own thing. And then all of a sudden, some of those guys walk out the door and you're still trying to do things the way you used to do them. And it's just not working anymore. We know. And people don't like hearing this, but it's true. If you want to win at the highest level, you have to have power. And when I say power, I mean both hitting and pitching. Power pitchers, you have to have strikeouts. Power hitting, you have to have home runs. Cardinals don't have enough of that. They relied on other things. Many times the other stuff, it's a lot more aesthetically pleasing. I get it. I understand that. But it's just not the way you win. So I can remember sitting in an upstairs suite at the baseball winter meetings a few years ago with John Mozeliak and him talking about, well, this is going to test our model. It did test the model, and it showed that the model just does not work anymore.
Yeah, it's, and what you say about power does matter, and you are absolutely right about it. And the aesthetics of the game, stealing bases, hit and run, you know, going first to third, doubles in the gap, though doubles are hugely important to winning too. But like the stuff that we're talking about here is more fun to watch than just home run, strikeout, walk, right? So the what they call the three true outcomes, that's not always the most fun way to view baseball, but it's the way that you win in baseball games. And it's really difficult to do anything about that, Matt.
Yeah, and if you can do that stuff, and then you can add some of those other things in, if you can add some speed on the bases, if you can, that's great, and that can make you better. But from a base level standpoint, you need those two things to be able to truly compete at the highest level.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to never steal a base. I'm not saying, you know, don't go first to third on a base hit. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying those things that you just mentioned, Chris, are not as important in a big picture standpoint if you want to win at the highest level to strikeouts from pitchers and home runs from hitters.
Yeah, so just looking at the playoff teams, let's talk about home runs. These are the teams that are at the top in the National League in home runs. The Dodgers, Mets, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Phillies, Braves, and Brewers. All of those teams, except for the Braves, are going to be playoff teams. Well, and then the Diamondbacks won't, but we're talking about...
Diamondbacks may. They're sticking around.
Yeah, they're still there. They're in contention. Yeah. So we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top seven are all big home run teams.
And I don't know this for sure. I could be totally wrong on this. Somebody can tell me. I would bet that as Arizona has gone on their little run here over the last month, we've probably seen them hit a few more home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the ballgame these days. I wanted to ask you... We've now had the end of last season and all of this season to look at Andre Pallante. And is this guy fixable at this point? I mean, he's still relatively young, but he's also experienced at this point. Does his stuff, can it be fixed?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't like saying I don't know. He was the best pitcher in the second half of the season last year for the Cardinals, and he has just come in this year, and it's been completely different. And these big innings bite him. You know, yesterday he walks two guys and then gives up a home run. That's the game. And he has innings like that so often. And I like him so much as a guy. Like, this is one of the things that I struggle with, because I know how hard he works. I know how good of a dude he is. He is so easy to root for. But the numbers are what the numbers are, and it's bad. He's got a 5.29 ERA, and it's just when there's so much hard contact against him, he's somebody that I don't think you can guarantee him anything going into next year. Like, I think you can reserve a spot in the rotation for Michael McGreevy and Matthew Liberatore. I think Andre Pallante goes in, and he is very much – not just competing for a job in the rotation, but competing for a job, period. And I hear from people all the time that say, oh, well, he's just a reliever. I push back so much on that. I do not like I like Andre Pallante as a reliever so much less than I like him as a starter, because he's a pitch-to-contact guy who he comes in from the bullpen, and it can go bad really fast. I don't think his profile is the profile of a relief pitcher. So I don't know what you do with him at this point outside of he goes into spring next year, and he has to earn everything he gets.
Matt Pauly, we've got the soccer showcase coming up, and I need you to tell everybody about it.
Yeah, so it's going to be tonight in Arnold. I'm making the trip down to Arnold, which is going to be fun.
I've been to Arnold recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mom grew up in Festus, and my grandparents were in Festus when I was growing up.
That's where they towed my banged-up car.
To Festus?
To Arnold.
Oh, to Arnold, okay. Yeah.
They got a bonanza there. Or no, I'm sorry, a Ponderosa.
A Ponderosa, okay.
Yeah, they got a Ponderosa there.
I will not be at Ponderosa. No. I am going to be at Hot Shots.
Oh, there you go.
And there you go. Timo Baumgartel from City SC will be there. He's going to be on with us from like 6 to 6:30, and then at that point he'll step away from the table. He'll sign autographs. He'll take photos. So this is the thing. For parents out there, especially parents who have kids at soccer practice tonight, instead of going home and trying to make dinner and doing that whole thing, just head to Hot Shots, your kid, and you can meet Timo. You can get yourself a burger. You can get yourself a beverage at Hot Shots. You can watch what we're doing. We're going to be broadcasting. The broadcast there will actually start at 5 o'clock because I'll be there for Red Bird Rush Hour, but we'll keep the broadcast going all the way till 8 o'clock.
Also, we've got Justin Boyd, who is with Hot Shots, coming in studio today at 11 o'clock. So we're getting, I mean, this is a big thing, man. KMOX Soccer Showcase tonight. Hot Shots, Arnold from 6 until 8. Matt Pauly is there. Timo Baumgartel is going to be there as well. So I want you to be nice to the people. Do not get into any altercations. You've done,
by
the way.
They need to be nice to me. Yeah, they need to be nice to me.
Hey, listen, Matt, you have done very well in the last, I'd say, 8 to 12 months in not getting in any sort of public confrontations. You've done really well.
Or I just haven't told you about them. No, I'm kidding. I haven't. I haven't really. But like the other night, I'm doing the post-game show, and somebody sent a text message telling me how horrible of a person I was. That stuck with me a little bit. So,
Who said you were horrible?
A texter.
For what?
Sorry about that.
Because I'm rude to callers.
Oh.
I'm not rude to callers.
Nobody. You know what? What other people think of you is of little significance.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I think
we have to disagree better because some people it is it is striking when somebody calls and I tell them they're wrong and they take that as a personal attack. It's not a personal attack. It's just we happen to disagree on something connected to baseball.
It's outrageous. Well, Matt, I think you're doing great. Okay.
Thank you.
Have fun tonight.
I will.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Matt Pauly, the host of Sports Open Line, Redbird Rush Hour, which happens at 5 o'clock when the Cardinals don't interfere. And then tonight, Soccer Showcase, the KMOX Soccer Showcase from 6 until 8, live at Hot Shots in Arnold. You should go out there and see everybody. John Hancock and Chris Ranji. It's 104.1 FM KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We need some crowdsourcing. We need a little bit of help here.
All right.
Because I don't know why. I don't know what we were talking about that prompted Robert, who usually watches us on YouTube, and you can watch the show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Find KMOX News. Also, Gas House Gang, you can find on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. It's a great show. Happens at 12. But Robert says they're supposed to get a Buc-ee's in Festus, I believe. Buc-ee's is that giant gas station that's like a Wally's.
Yep.
My understanding is Buc-ee's is larger
than Wally's. Buc-ee's is bigger than Wally's.
That's what I've heard.
Huh.
Now, I need somebody to tell us if this is true because there's a satirical Jefferson County, Missouri Facebook page which posted about this in May.
Yes.
Then there was another rumor that was out there a Buc-ee's was coming to the St. Louis area. But I haven't seen anything concrete on this.
There are no concrete at Buc-ee's.
Well, there is concrete.
Oh.
The evidence, though,
yes,
is not. It's very soft.
Very flimsy evidence.
Yeah, very flimsy.
Hmm.
So
could be just a vicious rumor that's being spread out there.
If you are a Festus public official and you have knowledge of this, I need to know if Buc-ee's is coming to the area.
A Festidian.
Is that what they're called?
That could be.
You ever been to Festus?
I have been to Festus.
I have not.
Well, Festus is a great place.
Yeah. Yeah. I think...
some fine people from Festus.
Look, if I can... The city that we talk about in the St. Louis area...
Yeah?
that gets one of the cities that gets the most crap from people who live here is my hometown of Granite City, which I think is completely unfounded.
I agree.
I don't think it's, I think it's wrong. I think the city is perfectly fine. I think there are good people there and hardworking people.
Well, Granite. Okay? I mean, Granite. You know, that you don't get much harder than Granite.
That's right. And I will go to bat for my hometown anytime I get an opportunity. And I feel like Festus deserves the same thing. They don't deserve crap from any of us.
Well, who's giving crap to Festus?
I don't know. Somebody must be. Huh. They're giving him a Buc-ee's.
Yeah. Well, that's big time. You don't see St. Louis running around with any Buc-ee's out there.
Yeah, St. Louis, we aren't out there with any Buc-ee's.
No Wally out there on Skinker?
No.
No.
We could barely get a gas station in the city limits.
That's exactly right.
So let us know if you know anything about Buc-ee's. 314-436-7900. I like Wally's. Wally's is a lot of fun.
Wally's is great. There's a Wally's between Jeff City and Kansas City out there.
There is one that is on 55 just north of Bloomington Normal by about 45 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I stop at that one a lot.
Fill up at Wally's, do you?
I love to. And I always feel bad about the other gas stations that are right there in the area because people just drive right past them to go to the Wally's.
You get exercise there too, because if you make yourself go to the end of the store, you might be a mile and a half from that thing, you know, at your pump.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of pumps out there.
And the bathroom is always clean.
Yeah.
Robert, also watching on YouTube, says that Wally's is Bush League compared to Buc-ee's.
Wow.
Well, that's quite a claim. I don't really know.
Buc-ee and Wally.
I like them.
I like them.
I can't wait to see if Buc-ee's ends up here in St. Louis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks? They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
That was part of the Jimmy Kimmel monologue that he was playing on Monday, and part of that monologue is what got him in a little bit of trouble with ABC. He has been removed from the air indefinitely, and a lot of people have raised concerns about First Amendment issues here. To talk about this with us, normally we talk to Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News at 10:30, but today we've got Scott Jennings, conservative pundit, a contributor on CNN. No matter what time of day you're watching CNN, Scott Jennings is probably on.
And well,
he's not on right now because he's on with us. He's on with us. Scott Jennings joins us on 104.1 FM KMOX. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Always good to be on in St. Louis.
You love being on KMOX. See, Scott's a big Cardinals fan.
I know it.
Yeah.
And we're sorry that things have not gone well this year.
Yeah, I'm. If anything needs to be regulated by the government right now, it's the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm looking for direct government intervention.
Okay, so, well, I would like to know how that works, but I
don't know.
I'm intrigued.
The president can do a lot of things, and I am volunteering to head up a new commission to figure out what's going on and how we can fix it, because I've about had enough on behalf of Cardinal Nation.
You need two starting pitchers to throw 98.
You need some power in the lineup.
With movement and one more power bat in the lineup, and it'd be fine.
Yeah. Just those little things.
That's it. That's it. All right. So, Scott, I mean, this has been the big news of the last, you know, 20 hours, I suppose, maybe a little bit less than that. But Jimmy Kimmel has been removed. And we know that the president has not really ever been a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. He has often criticized him publicly. And the criticism of this move is that it's a First Amendment. It may not be a direct violation, but it toys with it, because you had the FCC chair, which publicly basically said, either you do something about Jimmy Kimmel or we'll do it the hard way. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. What are your thoughts on how this has all gone down?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think it's a big story among a certain sliver of people, chiefly the people who work in media. I'm not sure it's that big of a story for the American people, just to be honest. This is not a show that was, that had significant ratings. And, I tend to think we in the media oversubscribe or over-index the weeping and gnashing of teeth when something like this happens. You know, is it a First Amendment story? I think it's a First Amendment debate. But I don't think it's a violation of the First Amendment. Nothing in the First Amendment guarantees Jimmy Kimmel a right to a job at a private company in perpetuity. I mean, you had significant affiliates and ownership of affiliates telling ABC, we're not comfortable with this programming anymore, chiefly Nexstar and Sinclair. I mean, combined, they own dozens of ABC affiliates around the country. There are statutory issues at play, the 1934 Communications Act and the Public Interest Rule. The Supreme Court has consistently held that Congress and the FCC can police that rule. And there are questions about what he was doing on the air and whether it ran afoul of that rule. So I think Brendan Carr, who's the head of the FCC and appointed by President Trump, is going to continue to answer those questions. But I don't personally subscribe to the theory that Jimmy Kimmel has a right to a job at a private company. A private company has a right to police and monitor their content based on what's going on in the marketplace. And my assumption is what was going on in the marketplace with him over a long period of time was not good.
And I agree with you that there aren't a whole lot of people around the country who are going to lose much sleep that Kimmel is no longer on late night talk. I think what the issue is that even if it's done in a vague way, it's the implication that if you don't comply with us and remove this person from the air, that merger that you're planning, it would be a shame if something happened to that merger. I think that's the implication that has people uneasy today.
Sure. And I think it's a legitimate question that someone will ask Brendan Carr. It might be me, because I'm interviewing him on my radio show at 2:30 Eastern today. So I'll probably bring it up. But I do think the larger issues here have to do with this public interest rule and, you know, whether he was running afoul of it and what is the FCC's role in enforcing this rule. I think, you know, look, this happened over Stephen Colbert as well. There are other market factors at play, other issues in the business. You know, was Jimmy Kimmel's show making money? Was it losing money? You know, someone once told me the only thing you cannot do in the TV business is make the affiliates angry. And it's obvious they were angry. I do think the joke, well, I call it a joke loosely. It wasn't a joke. I do think the commentary he had on the Kirk murder Monday night was painfully misleading, lying to the American people. It was callous. And I can see why affiliates and the people who call the affiliates were mad about it. It's not the first time he's done this. Back in the spring, he was openly cheering on the Tesla vandalism and, you know, wishing for a publicly traded company with tens of thousands of employees to fail. And, you know, look, when you do those kinds of things, when you tell half the country or more than half the country, I hold you in such disdain, there are marketplace reactions to that. I think that's a big part of what's happening to him here.
Scott Jennings is our guest. I'm going to switch here and get a little political geeky with you, Scott.
Sure.
We've got these slate and perhaps growing number of states that are redrawing their congressional lines. Texas has done it. We've done it here in Missouri, California threatening to do so. How do you see all of that playing out, and what do you think the net effect of it is going to be on the 26 midterms?
You know, first of all, I'm defensive of states being able to do this however they want, even though I realize that means some blue states like Illinois, for instance, are terribly gerrymandered in favor of the Democrats. I don't think we should federalize this, as some people have suggested. It's a state issue. And so if a state wants to draw their maps, I think that's fine. Democrats have done it. Now you have Republican reactions in Texas and Missouri and other places. How will it shake out? I'm not quite sure I know yet. It feels like there's a possibility Republicans may benefit from it slightly. But I think it might be too early to tell whether it will be definitive in the House races. However it shakes out, I expect the House races next year to be extremely close. No matter what, I think it's going to come down to the wire on congressional control, and it will probably depend more on how people feel about the economy and inflation than, you know, the maps that are being redrawn right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look historically and you take away 9/11 from the 2002 midterms and then impeachment from the 98 Clinton midterms, when you've got one party that controls all three, the president, the House, and the Senate, the average, the sort of minimum baseline loss of House seats has been historically about 25. Mm-hmm. And it can be as high as into the, we've seen it in the 40s, and the Obama midterms were brutal for Democrats. I don't see any way that Republicans hold the House here. Am I wrong?
Well, you could be wrong. Democrats aren't exactly covering themselves in glory right now. People don't really like them all that much. That may not be enough to save Republicans. We don't know yet. I would just point to the 2022 midterms. Everybody assumed Democrats were going to take a huge bath, and they actually outkicked their coverage a little bit. Republicans did take over, but it was close. It was much closer, I think, than people would have predicted based on Biden's approval rating, particularly among independent voters. So I think Democrats have image problems right now, and I think Republicans have the enduring problem of, can you get people who love Donald Trump and vote for Donald Trump to show up in any other election when he's not on the ballot? They have not had success with that so far. But that is, in my opinion, the number one, two, and three priority for the Republican Party's future beyond Donald Trump. Can you convert his voters into regular Republican voters? They're not there yet.
Buddy, I'm curious to get your thoughts on who the next United States senator from the great state of Kentucky is going to be.
It's going to be a Republican. That's all I know. And whoever the president decides he wants to get behind in the primary has a really, really good chance of being the Republican nominee. I think his endorsement is all but definitive in a state like Kentucky. And, you know, we'll see when he wants to wade into that.
You got any plans for next year?
Well, if I had any political plans to run in Kentucky, I wouldn't be announcing it on a radio station in Missouri.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Okay.
But good try.
If you were going to, it would be this one.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Okay. But it would probably be during the seventh inning of a Cardinals game. So sorry.
Oh, come on, man.
You guys.
Well, we're trying to get a scoop around here. That's
I know,
all.
I know.
I hope you do it, by the way.
Well, you know, look, it's I come from a family of political people. My grandfather was elected officially. He was a Democrat, local guy. My dad held local political office as well, also as a Democrat. I'm, you know, blazing a new trail in my family. But it's a big decision. I get a lot of encouragement. I don't know if it's in my immediate future or in my intermediate future, but I certainly am mulling over the possibility of running someday in the future. I just don't really have any announcement about when that might be.
Sure.
Today.
Scott Jennings is with us from CNN. He is a contributor there and also at one time was an assistant to George W. Bush, President George W. Bush. Now, this is, Scott, the politics that we are experiencing now, very, very different from when Bush was in office, from, you know, his time as a public servant prior to that, or when his father was the president. And it has changed in such a dramatic way that I think it has turned a lot of people off. How do we come back from where we are now? And I think this conversation is even more pertinent after the Charlie Kirk murder from last week and the fact that we've seen rhetoric on both sides over the years be pretty vile, I think. So how do we come back from that?
Well, I think some things are different. From when I served a president, certainly the communications environment is different. The mainstream media is far less dominant. The rise of social media, the rise of alternative and independent journalism. It's a totally different communications environment for politics today than when I serve President Bush. Some things are the same. I mean, I'm old enough to remember looking out my window in the White House out onto Pennsylvania Avenue, watching people marching around calling George W. Bush a Nazi, wearing Nazi uniforms and so on and so forth. I'm old enough to remember when Mitt Romney was called a murderer by the Democrats in 2012 and who intentionally gave people cancer. So I do think sometimes we sort of forget, you know, that things have gotten rough in our politics in the past and in the recent past. But what is different is the communications environment and how you come back from that or how you move through that. Look, I don't have a short answer to your question. I do think sometimes political leaders come along and they tend to galvanize the country or rally the country around certain issues or certain moments. I honestly think Donald Trump has rallied certain parts of the American people that weren't terribly politically active around his cause. Barack Obama did that before. So, you know, I tend to think our political leadership has a lot of responsibility here on how they choose to react to the issues of the day and the communications environment in which they live. And, you know, we may not know exactly what issues or what moments are going to come over the next 3.5 years that could galvanize us around something in the 2028 presidential. So it's an interesting question, but I guess I've lived in politics and been through enough cycles to know that this isn't the first time we've treated each other roughly or that Americans have had strong feelings about the political environment.
And I agree with you. I think one thing that does not sit well with me, and in the immediate aftermath of Kirk's murder, my feeling was, okay, this could be a really good moment for people in both parties, the most prominent members, to say, all right, we all need to cool it. We all need to cool it because the rhetoric, you know, it's not just been Democrats. It has been Republicans, too. And even this president has called people he doesn't like enemies. And, you know, we've heard the name, the word vermin be used against Democrats and liberals. And it doesn't sit well with me that we're not, that everybody is not together saying, all right, we all have to stop. But instead it is being used as sort of a political tool against the other side. So how do we get to that point where everybody at once recognizes we need to cool it?
Well, you would have to have people who want to cool it. I mean, it's one thing to say we should cool it, but you'd have to find people who want to cool it. And look, there are plenty of Democrats right now who have no interest in cooling it. I was on TV this morning with a guy.
But Scott, are there Republicans, too, that have no interest in that? We have to acknowledge both, do we not?
There are some who do, and I would say there are some who don't.
I've
experienced a range of emotions myself in the last week. I was on the air when Kirk was shot, and I was on CNN when he died, and I
terrible.
You know, was dejected. I was sad. I was angry. I mean, I've gone through a range of emotions about this. And I was on TV this morning with a guy who said the word fascist about 15 times in our panel discussion. Well, that's the word that was etched in the bullet casing that was found by investigators. I mean, obviously, there are some people who don't want to cool it. Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, says we're at war and we have to do everything we can to win the war. That's what
Republicans
he told
have used that,
his followers.
That terminology, too, though.
But if you want me to come on here and yell at Donald Trump because his friend got murdered, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm looking for an acknowledgement from everybody here, Democrats and Republicans alike. We can't just keep saying, well, the Dems do this, Dems, and never acknowledge that, hey, my own side is responsible for this, too.
I don't think Republicans are responsible for the death of Charlie Kirk. I do not think Republicans are responsible for the near assassination of Donald Trump.
It's a larger violence issue that we have in our politics. It's not just Charlie Kirk. It's everything. It's the Minnesota legislators. It's everything.
Look, I am not going to dispute you that there is rough, coarse, and over-the-top language in many, many corners of our politics. We are a week out from one of the most prominent conservatives in America being assassinated by someone who his own family says had been radicalized by the left and who etched words into bullet casings that are from the direct talking points of one of our political ideologies in this country. And so there, I believe that we are incapable of having a discussion about left-wing violence in this country. We always want to talk about right-wing violence and language, and then we want to both sides it when somebody from the left does something, but we're having trouble as a country isolating, I think, violent political culture on the left. I saw people in New York City, where I am today, in front of the courthouse cheering on Luigi Mangione this week. There are significant elements of the left who are interested in assassinations and political violence. And I hear you about the Republicans and conservatives, but inability to isolate left-wing political violence right now and discuss it honestly, I do think is a problem that we're incapable of doing it for some reason.
Scott Jennings, we do appreciate having you on. It's always fun to have you be a part of the show. We're sorry that we don't have a better Cardinals situation to bring you. But we thank you for coming on anyway. And if you do find a way to have the government get involved in Cardinals baseball and improve it, we're here to listen.
I'm traditionally a small government guy. Uh-huh. I would endorse direct government intervention in this. Okay. And again, volunteer to lead it. And I promise you, we will not fail the American people when it comes to fixing the problems that ail the St. Louis Cardinals.
Appreciate you, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Jennings, a contributor to CNN, a former special assistant to President George W. Bush with us, and has not committed to running for office. But he did promise that if he does, he's going to tell us first. That's what I heard. Anyway, John Hancock, Chris Ranji, your thoughts, let us know. 314-436-7900. It's KMOX.
Yeah.
You just spoke to Scott Jennings of CNN, and we talked about a number of things. What are your thoughts as we had our conversation about a number of different topics, including Charlie Kirk and Jimmy Kimmel and everything that's happened the past
week? I think there's a whole lot more conversation about the ideological bent of this kid. This is a messed up kid.
Talk about the murderer.
Yeah, the shooter. This is a messed up kid. And the evidence appears that he was, he got deep into some dark web stuff. Lots of people do that, I suppose. Not lots of people pick up a rifle and kill somebody. I think we've got to be very honest about political violence in this country. It's on the rise. Statistically, it is thus. And we're probably in as dark of a place as it relates to political violence as we've been in this country since the 1960s, which was a dark time. There are bad, evil, messed up kids, and a lot of these shooters are kids. He mentioned Mangione. They're kids, it's tragic.
Yeah, it really is. And I just, the one thing, and I, Scott is always personable when he's on with us. The one thing I wish, and he did this thing that I really wish we would get away from, and that is, I said in the immediate aftermath of the murder, mm-hmm. of Charlie Kirk's murder, that, okay, look, at some point the cycle has to stop. Bad thing happens to a Republican, Democrats, wherever we blame the Democrats. Bad thing happens to a Democrat, now we blame the Republicans. It almost doesn't matter who is more responsible for the violence over the years, though the numbers are out there, and you can go, look, at some point we all have to just say, okay, that's it. Otherwise, we're just going to keep continuing the cycle of bad act, blame the other side, bad act, blame the other side again. And I just wish there was at least an acknowledgement from everybody on all sides that, yeah, we do it too, and we all need to stop.
Well, and parents, there's a whole lot of crap out there online, and I hope you're attentive to your kids.
So tonight is the KMOX Soccer Showcase from 6 until 8 o'clock at Hot Shots in Arnold. We're going to talk to Justin Boyd with Hot Shots. We'll talk about what's happening tonight, why you should head out there. That's next on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.